In 1988, 2 centuries to the day after the first fleet had made landfall, the Governor General of Australia ignited a bonfire at Botany Bay. When the flames became visible down the coast, another bonfire was kindled. When that fire flared, there was another, and so it went, one fire after another, throughout the long night, until all of Australia became encircled in a ring of fire. The procession would, Geoffrey Blainey hoped, celebrate the unity of Australia. It will also honor that most powerful, majestic, and frightening force in our history, the force of fire. To a remarkable extent, the unity of Australia and the force of fire had converged in fact and purpose. Since the breakup of Gondwana, fire had progressively insinuated itself into Australian natural history. With isolation and aridity, it had increasingly informed the biotic character of the island continent. Between fire and flora, there evolved a fantastic and growing reciprocity. The injection of humans wielding fire sticks, inextricable, inextinguishable, tipped the scale further toward sclerophily, toward pyrophilia. Anthropogenic fire powered the economics of hunting and foraging. It lit ritual and ceremony. It shaped relationships among people and between Aborigines and Australia. Europeans subtracted some fires, added new ones, and restructured the fuel complex in fundamental ways. Again, humans dreaded and resisted bushfires even as they advanced behind a covering front of flames, a slow, colossal fire drive that eventually burned across a continent. The net effect of this complex colonization was to further accentuate the prevalence of fire. Fire in the bush became pervasive, vital, deadly, apparently ineradicable. Its geography universal, its history irreversible. The creation myths of Australia were told by firelight. The landscape of Australia became, by and large, a landscape of fire. The fire was always there. It was there in the smothering pall of Henry Lawson's Snake Under the House, and the fear of Judith Wright's Child in the Dark, and the awful sublimity of Henry Kendall's Ravenous Flames. It brooded over the landscape. It infiltrated the very warp and woof of the Australian biota. It was latent in the desert breed, the crackle of eucalypt litter, the stiff blades of spinifex. It was the fire of which Patrick White wrote, the fire into which men stared and were changed. It shaped the life of anything and everything that chose to exist or was forced to exist in Australia. It subsumed what was special about the bush and what was terrible about it. This fire was absorbed into the subconscious. Its smoke haunted memories, its flames lit nightmares. It was impossible for humans to live under its tyranny, yet impossible for them to expunge it from the landscape. The bushfire was part of Indigenous Australia that would remain forever alien and unassimilable. What mattered was how Australians confronted it. They could fight it, flee it, substitute one fire for another. They could, within limits, transfigure bushfire into bonfire. But whatever course they chose, as they shaped fire, so fire shaped them. There was Australia, there was the bush, burning, oracular, unconsumed.